adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Curry Farrell and Stephen Perkins here tonight from Jane's Addiction.
Oh, hello. Hello.
Good to see you guys. Dave Navarro and Chris Chaney are going to be in here when we do the changing of the Jane's Addiction Guard, probably about 11 o'clock tonight. Guys, good to see you. It's been a while. I don't think I was here when Perry was here last. We never did figure out what happened, but it was a couple of years ago, and I was somewhere other than here.
Yeah, I was bummed out. They had a replacement comedian.
Oh, that must have been so painful.
You also double as a K-Rock DJ.
I think it was Stryker, yeah.
K-Rock.
It's fun to laugh at substitutes, but not that time.
K-Rock, that's our Seattle affiliate?
Yeah.
Where is that? Dallas?
Houston. Wait a minute.
Houston. And look that up. Let's figure out where that is. I'm going to give my props out to, what'd you call it, K-Block? We'll figure that out. Anyway, sweet kids over there doing a great job. Jane's Addiction is coming back. The Lollapalooza tour's kicking off. When is the Lollapalooza tour kicking off?
This weekend.
This weekend. And it's got a pretty strong looking lineup here. I was looking at before the show: Audio Slave, Incubus, Queens of the Stone Age, Perfect Circle, Donnas. The Donnas were in here. Actually, Queens of Stone Age, mm-hmm. Stillers, Jurassic 5. It's all a nice. Is it easier as the years go on to put the cast of bands together? I mean, as it gets more established.
You know what it is. The hard part is finding great musicians per year,
mm-hmm.
and with more and more festivals going out, putting packages together,
right?
It's kind of it's harder to. There's a less of a pool for you. You know what I mean?
Right.
You have to compete with people on a monetary level, and you have to get dastardly and talk to the band people behind the manager's backs.
Mm. Well, how
do tricks like that?
How long in advance do you have
you
to
wrangle them?
Do you have to secure people?
Well, we like to work on it year round. So as soon as this one's done, you know, we give it a month or two, and then you start considering things again.
Is there anybody you've passed on in the last 12 years? There's been some years off, right? Started in 91.
Yeah. We took 5 years off.
Oh, took 5 years.
Yeah,
off.
Yeah, 5 years.
Okay, so this will be the eighth year you've done it.
Seventh
year.
Mm-hmm.
And so out of the 7 years, is there a band that, and I'm sure there's bands you go after, and then there's bands that go after you a little bit. I mean, younger bands coming up saying, hey, mm-hmm. we're getting hot, you got to put us on the tour. Is there anyone you've passed on that has sort of exploded in recent years?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a horrible story.
It's perfect.
I wish I could feel your negative fire, but no.
Nothing?
He's got a perfect record.
No, I mean, actually... It's the only thing that happens in the way of, you know, if anything gets difficult, it's having to look, you know, musicians in the face and not have a place for them, you know.
But there's not anyone you've ever passed on that's went on to sell a million records. And do you get hit on a lot by managers and record reps and stuff like that?
I have a weekly dumping of my CDs where I have my assistant just take all the CDs that are in my pockets and in my ears and in my suitcase, and I bring it up to Aaron's Records.
Oh. I was going to say, out front, I just got two demos for the next year's Lollapalooza tour.
Oh, really?
I listen to them first.
You do. Well, you know, if you shoot Skeet,
sure,
you could probably incorporate
you can shoot them.
It always pisses me off when you go to the used record place and you see some records, some CD you like, and it's like
it says Four Perry.
It's $9.
Well, it's funny because
and then you try to sell yours, and they go, "We can give you 80 cents."
Yeah.
Or we can give you like $1.10.
We'll charge $10.
Yeah. What is that? I mean, give me half the price you're gonna ask for. Yeah. I mean, like when you bring a used car in. You don't get $10,000 and they sell it for $80,000.
Exactly.
You get $10,000 and they sell it for $13,000, right?
Well, you know what I used to do? I used to autograph the records that I was handing in because I always need the money for junk.
Well, I was going to say,
figured if I autograph it, they'd give me more when they did.
You see a lot of Jane's and porno records in those used stores, and because our fans had to trade them in for their drug use.
Oh, really?
So that was the trade-off. They buy the records, they bring them back. It's, you know...
Yeah, I guess it's sort of like a pawn shop.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Sweet. That's nice.
Sweet.
All right.
Do you feel bad for the people that hand you all the CDs?
No. And as a matter of fact, to reiterate, there are some groups out there that I couldn't fit on the bill.
I'm sure people give you CDs out on the street, probably.
They do. Yeah. I mean,
do you feel
like
a responsibility to listen to them?
No.
No.
No, because
I
was
for them.
I mean, no, I don't feel bad for them because I was once a kid doing the exact same thing, and I would mail, you know, CDs to, you know, Iggy Pop, and I never heard from him, and I still love him. Of course. You know, but because you got to figure, you have to take your time, and you have to take your place, you know, and there's a long line.
So you'd encourage them to keep doing that.
Heck yeah.
That stuff out. Even though you're going to use them as frisbees and ski.
Well, sometimes you hold on to one or two that you like, and you keep,
here's the deal. The deal is this. I do listen to them. I'll throw it on there just because I am interested to see what, you know, a cat will sound like. However, there's so many things that a person needs to do to build themselves into this business, amongst other things like getting a great management in place and paying your dues in clubs and playing for a number of years so people know who you are, recognize you, and it can spread, you know, message about, hey, you got to check them out. So just trying to, you know, kind of jump the fence. You gotta love a kid for trying.
Got it.
All right. Let's take some calls. By the way, Strays is the name of the new CD. Speaking of giving away all the CDs, I don't see it in here.
Yeah.
We supposed to have one?
Huh? Absolutely not. We're not giving
it. No.
Not to us.
Ooh. You do that one where you do the saw notch in it, so you couldn't possibly sell it. But you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The weird notchy thing?
The saw.
All right. We're going to hear something off that. Actually, hear a couple songs off it. I'm imagining one song.
No, you're going to hear one song.
One song over and over.
Because it's not released yet.
When's it coming out? Oh, July 22nd.
There you go.
Three weeks.
So we're going to hear one song off of it.
And one song.
We'll hear one song. Yeah. And we'll hear it sometime in the first hour.
Or we can hum a couple of bars of the other songs, but that's about it.
That's
all right. You can download that humming. Tina?
Hi.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi. I just ended my period, and I feel something, like, hard inside of me, and I'm not sure if it's my tampon because I don't remember. And, like, I tried to take it out, and it really, really hurts. And, like, I'm going to go to the gynecologist tomorrow.
Good.
I couldn't today, but I was wondering if I can get it stuck inside of me. And I cannot feel the string at all.
Well, believe it or not, a bunch of guys sitting around the table here, but the reality is that happens all the time.
Really?
And doctors have to fish stuff out very commonly. It's not a big deal.
But I'm more curious about the part where she doesn't know. She can't remember if it's in there.
You think you could keep track of that? Think about yourself.
If I had something on my ass, I'd know when
not
it was
ass,
in there.
If you had to keep track of something.
I don't have a vagina.
Some hygiene you were dealing with.
What do you mean?
I once had a crack pipe up my ass, and I forgot about it.
Really?
Yes.
And I'll vouch for
it. So don't feel too bad, honey. And that's a true story.
I think I hit off that.
But Tina, there are a couple things. One is, if you tonight get a fever or rash, go to emergency room immediately, because this kind of thing can predispose to toxic shock syndrome.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, there is kind of a technique for trying to get this out, if you guys are prepared for that.
I'd like to hear it. I was picturing Perry farting and killing someone with a hash pipe screen, by
I'll
the way.
Vouch for that.
But it was crack pipe.
It was a crack pipe.
It was shards of glass. What are you talking about?
All right.
Fire it out.
Very dangerous, but let's hear how to get this out.
Yeah. Compress
Tina,
hair,
if,
I'm guessing.
If you squat down, mm-hmm. and then sort of reach in with push down and sort of reach in with your hand, with two fingers if you can do that, sometimes you can kind of scoop out of there. Okay?
Okay.
Give that a shot, and if, you know, don't do anything. If it hurts, lay back. Just don't go on in tomorrow.
Can you see? Can you see?
No.
You can't even
no.
if
no.
I had a carbuncle dangerously close to where Perry stashed his crack pipe, and I couldn't see it. You know, like, you can't really see it. But
yeah, I can't see it.
But I did this thing where I put my feet up on this glass mirror, this wardrobe mirror, and then I bounced a flashlight off the glass and into my ass. And I could see it perfectly. It's how they got light into the pyramids.
then he got a robotic arm and started doing surgery on it.
It worked. But the point is, can't a woman use my same flashlight and mirror technique?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Can't see up
it's
there?
It's too far.
Don't try it.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck, Tina.
Good luck.
You want to know what I thought was a cute idea and it could actually work for people like Tina is that the tampon string gets lost or breaks off or gets caught up. Kind of more the string's like cotton; it can get
you
moist.
You had a brilliant idea for this.
You've got a new.
I have novelty things that you hang off the string. Like one of my
animal tails
was a rat tail.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it totally like freak a guy
raccoon
out
tail.
Completely.
Cat tail.
Just bizarre. Just a decorative like lamp things. I mean, just
how about like a fortune cookie thing.
A rabbit's foot. So
people can read while they're down there.
Or different like, you know, maybe
some people can't
tassels.
Read and drive at the same time.
Tassels. Graduation tassel. Perhaps if you have a charity like AIDS or something like that, you hang their breast cancer, you hang the appropriate ribbon color off there.
Ooh.
Pay us, yes, for the Jewish girls. Yeah, this would be great.
This is not bad.
Adam, this is the best idea you ever had.
Comes in a gift pack with the rat's tail and the pay us and all that stuff, and then you just clip it on to your existing thing. It sets you apart. Yeah, women are always looking for a sense of style, individuality. This is how they do it.
Start there.
Yeah.
And they always claim to have a good sense of humor.
Right.
This is a chance to really establish that.
Claim.
I'm just thinking, how, like, if you were drunk and the chick got naked and you just saw the rat's tail hanging out, like, how freaked would you be? Drew, you get one of those for your daughter.
That is a great way from, you know, well, I guess prevention of any kind of sexual advance.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am giving my daughter these. You're right.
Daniel?
Yes.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
I just wanted to know what the best way to ask a girl out was.
What do you think, Perry? You have any ideas on this?
Just do it!
Just do it?
Let's see.
Well, Perry, they think they ask you out, don't they?
Well, they have. Yeah. Yes, they have. But I will tell you, the best approach is, kid, walk up to him as a gentleman and have confidence and have courage. Because I think that men and women will follow a man with courage. So that's your best bet. That's your best shot.
Yeah, if you seem sort of skittish, they're going to... Drew, what are you doing? Can't get your mic back on?
Yeah.
He's taking notes on what Perry's giving.
If you seem sort of skittish, they're not going to pay any heed to you. Yeah. I think I fixed that, Drew.
Confidence.
Mic. Yeah. Who are you asking?
Courage.
What? I'm asking the girl.
Okay, let's make believe she's here.
That's right.
Let's start.
Let's hear it.
Perry, you be the girl.
Okay.
All right. What's her name?
Her name's Tasha.
Okay.
Tasha.
All right.
All right,
Tasha.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Where are you, at school, Daniel?
Yeah.
When you ask her out, you're going to go up to her at school?
I'm writing on my book, and I'm drawing some flowers.
Go ahead.
Peachy folder.
Okay.
Tasha, I've liked you for a while. I want
nope,
to know
nope, stop,
you
stop. No.
That's the bum rush.
Yeah.
That's not courage.
You know what? I was drawing some flowers. I heard this voice over my shoulder, and then there he was, and he just started, like, giving me his love speech.
Yeah, don't give her what you're feeling about her. Just
a little humor too,
and a little mystery.
You know, a lot of guys that aren't that good looking get girls just on their humor alone.
Yeah,
so a little humor goes a long way.
Go ahead, Daniel. Try it again.
Try tickling her. Tickle
her. Show
her
the rat tail.
Daniel, give her a little tickle under the arm, so she'll giggle and turn around, look up, and there you are. And what are you gonna say? Hey, gorgeous, what's going on, right?
Sort of be straightforward, but humorous at the same time.
Yeah, but you know what? Make the
lighthearted.
Make the thing relaxing.
Yes.
Because what you're doing is you're giving this woman, on your word, she's going for a ride through the life of Daniel, and she wants to enjoy the ride with you.
In Daniel's mom's car.
You know what I mean?
By the way.
She doesn't want to have a ride that's going to be, you know, compressing her and repressing her. She wants to have a ride that's delightful and fun and titillating.
In the Lincoln Continental.
She's sharing life, the ride of life, of Daniel's life. You get it?
All right, yeah. Daniel. Let's try it one more time.
Take all that and give it your best shot.
You ready? And action.
Okay, so I tickle you under the arm.
Right.
And you giggle.
That's right.
Well, hold on. Giggle.
Daniel, what are you doing?
Go ahead.
He's never spoken to her before, mind you.
Drew, shut up. You're bumming Daniel's groove. Now, go ahead, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Hey, beautiful. How you doing?
Oh, thank you. You are on your way, Daniel.
Keep going.
I like you. I mean, I'm just joying. What are you doing?
I was just talking to you.
Nice.
Much better.
Daniel is about to
So you think I'm beautiful?
Yeah, I do. I wanted to know if you wanted to be my girlfriend.
No.
Daniel, bad move.
Relax.
Bad move.
Bad move, okay.
No, you wanted to spend a little time with her.
First tell her that you think braces are gorgeous.
Yeah.
And pigtails, too.
Never
you're on, because when you tell a girl she's gorgeous, that's a rating of 80 to start with.
Okay.
So you need 20% more of smoothness, relax. It's just like sex, Daniel. One day when you'll have it, you never want to rush in and finish too quick.
Yep.
It's all about pacing, Because women are long-paced creatures. You got it?
Yeah.
Hey, Daniel, your form, everything's fine with your form except for the part where you want to go steady, be the girlfriend too early, or telling you how you've been feeling about her for a long time. You just, you got to pretend like, here's what you have to do. Uh-huh. I'm putting him on hold. He can still hear us.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you ask a girl out, they don't want to know that you've been thinking about it for the last month and a half.
Right.
They want you to think that you've been walking down the hall thinking about something else. You spotted them and decided to ask them
spontaneous.
Out.
Spontaneous. Yeah.
So when you hit them with all that stored up energy, like I've been staring at you in my homeroom for 6 years and I've already beat off to you 17,000 times.
This doesn't hold water.
Then you just hit them with the bum rush and it freaks them out. You got to go that, oh, hey, by the way, I sort of never noticed you before, but
you're looking good. It's the Persian cat thing again.
Yeah. And Daniel, you know, all those things that you want to tell her, you can tell her with your eyes, but not with your mouth. Mm-hmm. So you can look at her right in the eye and say, you know, I want to have been going out with you for 6 years. But then what you can say is, how you doing, gorgeous?
And don't forget the eyebrows.
Yeah, you got to move them.
Use the brows.
Move frantically.
Yeah, because you don't want to get into it too quick because she might shut you down and it'll hurt your feelings. Check her out. See her reactions, you know. Then you'll have a much better gauge if she wants to go out with you.
No.
Yeah.
There we go.
Good luck with you and Daniel and Tasha.
Brandy, nice.
I used to do in high school is I would, you know whenever you bend over your sunglasses fall out of your chest pocket there?
Of course.
I would just put a huge sack of cocaine and $100 bills tied up in a twist tie. And I would just bend over and just have that stuff fall out.
The high school days? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do. All right.
That was good.
Brandy? Oh, they love. Well, this is the 80s, you know. Brandy? Brandy,
Hello?
You're 19. What's up?
I had a question about sex.
Sex?
All right, this is the place.
That's right. Okay, well, I have a boyfriend, and recently we've been trying a new position. Well, actually, I've only slept with him once, but in the night I slept with him, we tried a new position, and I got on top of him.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I, like, straddled him, I was straddling him, but every time I, like, stroked him and went down, it was like I felt a popping.
Mm-hmm.
You broke his penis.
That was his penis popping?
Yes.
No, because we tried another position after, and it still worked, so it wasn't broke.
No,
but
no.
Is it a popping from moisture?
No.
Or is it a popping from an internal...
Cracking.
It was like a cracking, but it was up in my abdomen.
Oh, yours.
Well, there's two possibilities.
What, was it coming from him or coming from you?
Or could you
from
tell?
Me.
You sure?
It was inside my body, and, like, he couldn't feel it. He couldn't hear it or anything, and it didn't hurt me, but it was just kind of weird and uncomfortable.
Well, you probably just were flipping your uterus or hitting the round ligament. That's nothing.
Yeah.
You also can crack his penis. There's a ligament there that holds the penis up that'll crack. You can do that.
I can do that, but not multiple times.
You're double cracking jointed penis.
Those days are behind me. But I can get the one in the morning sometimes if I push it down hard enough at that morning wood. It's usually when I'm trying to launch a ball of tube socks toward the hamper. It's a little game I play. But it will get one good crack. You guys hear another?
Where's that doing sound?
Yeah. But not multiple cracks.
Where is it?
She's just, what's she doing, flipping her uterus?
Yeah, is she healthy up there?
That's the one.
Well,
yeah, it could be. I got to bring the pictures out.
Is it tilted? I heard that before.
Yeah.
The tilted uterus?
Yeah.
Drew's going to pull out
He's taking out the anatomy book.
Yeah, I don't want to see it, by the way.
I know, Adam. It's very delicate sensibility.
Well, so, Brandy, that's never happened to you before?
No,
here we go, guys. Hold on. Gentlemen, hold on a second. So she's going in here and it hits this and it kind of flips. It'll flip. It'll move.
Wow. Mm.
So it hits, flips, hits, flips.
Okay.
Sort of straightens it out.
So the position you're in is letting your body open up to the point where it flips your uterus.
Does it hurt? Is it hurting you? Are you discouraged?
No, I'm not.
Oh, cool. There you go.
It's weird, you know? It's like I didn't know if I was just, like, going to burst or something.
No, you're not going to break.
Why don't you put on loud music?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you won't hear it anymore. It's fine.
It's fine.
Well,
be careful. I suggest be careful in that position. But
I would too.
But continue having sex with
Are you a dainty gal? Are you a small gal?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've got small hips and that. And, well, he was actually very large.
Well,
very, very large.
Well, there it is.
Yeah.
Nice. What's nice about that? This is, ooh, a woman getting hurt by a penis. Nice.
It's just, it's funner to watch heavyweights fight than flyweights, you know? It's just something more exciting about that haymaker, you know? I don't know. I just, I always wish that I could do some damage with my penis.
I see, right there.
All right. I guess I could take out, like, I could detach a retina or something if I got a running start. But, you know, I like these stories where the women say, you know, the guy's penis essentially became like a crowbar, you know, like he's really doing, it's a weapon, you know.
It's like,
you
know, a spinning top.
My fantasy for my penis would be, you know, once in a while you see the porn movie where the guy's got a full handful at the base and still plenty enough to use.
Sure.
You know, he's sort of, at that point, it becomes an instrument, right. You know what I mean? Mm. As opposed to sort of obscuring it with your hand where you really can grab onto it and sort of aim it.
Few of us have a weapon in our hands.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a time in the early days with me and Perry when we just wore towels for about a year as the whole band, and we always got to, you know, notice or check if we were, like you said, holding and crowbarring and double jointed.
So you got a pretty good
idea. We got
to
know each other. Yeah.
Yeah, I a lot of people think this is gay, but I could definitely recognize my best friends by their penis. I mean, if they stuck them through a hole in the piece of plywood. And line them all up.
Like they did for you during many encounters.
True. Yeah. How dare you? I could go run around and put names to each penis, nice. And I think I'd get them right. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Would you post
True
it?
True goes by taste.
Hang it.
How dare you? Yeah, I would hang it on the erect penis. I think we'd just use Velcro and put it over the penis. Okay. But we could possibly hang it on
the penis. It's time for the next question.
Not gay. Not gay, right?
We got to take a break.
He's gay.
No, that's super straight.
Yeah, ultra straight. But
ultra straight.
Ultra straight comes around the other side, becomes gay eventually.
So comfortable with my heterosexuality that I could actually announce that.
Yeah.
I could blow a guy and swallow. That's how comfortable I am.
That's good.
All right, Jane's Addiction in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Stephen Perkins is here, along with Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction. The new CD is coming out on the 22nd of July. So, no, Drew.
That was nice.
Yeah, getting out of the way, buddy. Strays, name of the new CD. We're going to hear just one song off it. It's very top secret. We don't even have the cover art or anything like that.
Are we going to play this segment?
Yeah, I think maybe we'll take two calls and then hear it.
All right.
Let me get your guest's opinion on something real quick. I don't know. I was just enjoying this. I like Jane's Addiction. They travel with red wine in a fruit platter, which I like to go through life. And I'll tell you, I'm down with that red wine. It's something I discovered recently in life.
Easy breezy.
I'm just saying it's easy to just carry it around. Like, I'd like to start.
One glass is good for your heart.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah, that's right. I try to get them all in one night, though.
I'm saying, not one glass an hour.
All I'm saying is I'd like to get, like, I wish someone would bring the Boda bag back. I'd hang that nice big Boda bag around my neck.
Yeah, the goat skin.
And I'd just suck off it. And the Boda bag's something you could walk around. You could drive with a Boda bag.
We don't suck it. You shoot it, though.
You shoot it in your mouth. It's like you're taking it from a yak's teat is basically what it tastes like. It turns everything into yak.
That's a great way to drink, isn't
it? It's like you put wine in it. It's like it's got a fruity, nutty, yakky kind of taste. But everything tastes like leather, but it's good. You get drunk. I got to get one of these Boda bags.
It's usually the aftertaste, though, the yak aftertaste that gets me.
Yeah. But here's what I wanted to ask. I got off on a tangent. I was eating the fruit, and I was thinking, you know, now there's this new policy where they put stickers on everything, like tomatoes.
When did that start?
It started about a year and a half ago. They didn't check with any of us, obviously, because I wouldn't have voted for it. But they put these stickers on everything now. Anytime you buy a nectarine or tomato, it's in there.
Yeah.
And now you got to start working with it. And a lot of them don't come off. They don't have tabs on them. Like, you're working it. And, you know, you buy 12 tomatoes, and there's 12 goddamn stickers on the thing instead of just one big one that takes up the whole rack,
besides,
you know?
And then you got to wash off after you take the sticker, get the glue off.
Peel the onion thing, breaks apart while you're peeling it off, right?
The onion
opens up.
What?
Or the
sticker?
Or the tomatoes.
Right.
The actual skin.
Yeah, because the skin is thinner than the actual sticker, but it really came home to me. I was cooking a bunch of stuff with tomatoes in it over the weekend, and I was like stirring a big pot. And there was I was staring at a sticker in my pot, and I thought, this, goddamn. And I put my hand in, then I burned my hand, then I took the chunk of tomato over the sink, and I tried to pull the sticker off, and the skin came off and the thing went squirting down my leg, you know, and I thought, really? I have to endure this indignity? We can't figure out how do we get along before stickers were on everything?
I think they should be fortune cookies, too.
Like,
instead of just saying, you know, 100% quality, they should just give you some fortune.
Yeah. Like, your lucky number is 19.
Troubles.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Like, yeah, it just give the name, the inspection number, and then say, expect good things.
There
to
you
happen,
go.
You know? Yeah, so if they put
good
just
fortune's
a
coming your way.
Little positive affirmation on there, just
your swelling will go down.
Looking good. Yeah, or a little piece of trivia on the back side. You pull it, you know, you pull off, you turn the sticker over. And there's a little piece of, like, American history on there or something.
Or like a Willy Wonka thing where, you know,
golden ticket.
You could win something, yeah.
The right sticker gives you
anything.
Another tomato.
Exactly.
That's right. All right. Danny?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Uh-huh.
Danny boy.
Yeah.
What happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
What's your question?
All right, I'm an asshole, this jackass, all right. What? These a-holes that call this show act like we just called them up at home and they're confused. Screw you. Gina, there's big stars on this show. Gina, you're 23. There's just nothing worse than a snot-nosed 15-year-old boy. There's just nothing worse, huh? All full of bravado.
I think he was just defensive. What? He really had something. He was really hurting inside.
I didn't mean to hurt his feelings.
The world may never know his question.
There could be some funky smell coming from your job. I'm not kidding you.
Old school.
Wow.
Gina?
Hello?
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a question about getting over a breakup.
All right,
go.
Yeah, well, because I was with this guy for 7 years.
Uh-oh.
Wow. So how, and you're how old?
23.
Yeah, when 23? I was 15 till 22. A couple months ago, we broke up. Eight months ago.
All right.
And I found out he cheated. Like, it was bogus, the breakup. It was really bogus.
Yeah.
He made up some stuff. It was all bogus. And then I found out he cheated. And he got some girl pregnant, and he moved in with her.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and
he did
like,
what with her?
Got her pregnant, moved in.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I mean, you know what? The real reality is, Gina, at 15, you get involved in these relationships sometimes that are too intense.
I know.
If you start getting sexually active
now.
With somebody. And to end that relationship at 16, 18, 20 is really difficult. You should have probably ended this relationship when you were about 17 and a half.
Okay, but here's...
At most.
Yeah, here's the thing. This is our second time breaking up. We broke up when I was 18.
Of course, that's where these things go.
And that's the thing. It wasn't going bad or anything. We kind of like it was just like too intense, too serious. So
no, yeah.
We wanted to date other people.
Gina, you're not hearing me at all. It needed to end a long time ago.
Well, just remember, you're a great person. You don't need him anymore, and he's got his other life with his other girl baby.
Yeah, you've got to get other relationships going. You've got to start dating.
Yep.
That's the thing. That's the trouble. Like I'm having trouble with that because it's like it's been 8 months. Yeah. You know, I should be over
it. Are you depressed?
Yeah.
Huh?
Are you getting depressed?
I've been, like, really, I've tried so hard. Like, I go out, it's so bad.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You can't really kickstart your life by doing fun things. It's never going to work. You have to sort of do things that are sort of important, that are a little bit tough. That challenge yourself. It's really weird, but you get broken up with, you get really depressed, you start going in a funk, your friends tell you we're going out, we're going to a club, we're going to have a good time.
Makes you feel
you
worse.
You try to put, it's like, it's just like, you just sort of try to drown yourself in booze and loud music, and it just ends up getting worse. What you really need is like classical music and push-ups at 6 in the morning, and you have to push through the funk. Do you hear me?
Yeah, personal confidence building.
Yes, you have to sort of challenge yourself, and you have to get on with your life, not the fun part of your life, the sort of career part and the educational part
get
and all
more
the whatever
focused,
part.
More focused on what you need to do. And
right.
Self-competencies.
Yeah, the self stuff.
Competencies of self.
Yeah, let me ask that, Gina. Gina, what
we
are...
We think you're beautiful.
What are you doing?
That's the thing. When I was with him, we were together every single day. I didn't work, didn't go to school. He wanted me to stay home, and I was stupid. I did.
Right.
And all of the friends, the only friends I had were his. The only family I was around was his family.
So what you're telling us is he basically freed you right now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
but
good for you. Good for you.
With her head cut off.
All right, but what are you doing now?
That's the thing, nothing.
Okay.
Well, now there's the problem.
That's the problem. I'm having
Yeah.
All right. Your life got put on hold for like 5-7 years.
7 years.
Okay, you're 23, though. You're a kid. Just get started now. Now it's time to get started. He freed you up.
Yeah.
Now you got to start.
Get some goals and get into a routine, and exercise routine, and also just some kind of, you know, ethic, work ethic, you know.
Thank God you didn't waste more time.
All right, Gina. Empower yourself.
Go, Gina.
Don't get pregnant. Experiment with a chick.
Good luck. And he, and he lost out, not you.
Yeah. Fine, he's got this chick pregnant. Now what's he going to do, come back? She wants to come back.
You don't want him.
Sounds like a jackass.
He's an idiot,
and by the way, the you know, he didn't want her working. He didn't want her going out of the house.
Awful.
They break up for 10 minutes. He knocks up some other chick. Yeah. I mean, come on. Is this a great guy? Let's talk to Dan, who's 16. Dan?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, Dan.
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I've been masturbating for about 4 years now. Mm. And
you've called this show before, huh?
No, I haven't.
Hmm. All right, keep going.
4 years.
There's other guys out there masturbating.
I think
the way he said it sounded very familiar.
I've heard those words before.
You've been masturbating since you were 12?
Yeah, basically.
All right, and?
I've noticed over the past year or so that
I swear this kid called before.
All right.
Go ahead.
But I've noticed over the past year or so it's bent.
Yeah, well, that has nothing to do with the masturbating.
What is that? That's
God knows. Mine be poking my, I'd be poking myself in the belly.
Yeah, try using your other hand and see if it straightens out.
Adam would be like,
yeah, go 4 years the other way, and then it's a balance out.
My like, dork would look like a pig's tail by now.
A U-turn. Pigtail.
You don't think that by stroking
like a hot
yourself
track.
Not really.
Three times a day, very hard with your right hand,
then everybody,
things will start curving to the stage right.
Then all males would have
stage left.
Then all males would have curves like again a U-turn.
Because you don't. Here's the thing. It's like, You drive your car, you shift with your right hand. The stick shift doesn't start migrating over to the driver's side. It's just you follow the pattern.
That's a piece of metal.
That's a good point.
But if you take your earlobe and start putting big objects through it, eventually it starts to grow longer and longer. I mean, skin does stretch and bend, right?
This
is not the skin, though. This is
look at tennis players. They have one big arm and one little arm.
Not really, though.
They do.
They should, but they don't really.
Wait, this is actually caused by scarring, guys. This is called Peyronie's disease.
Yes.
And it's caused by scarring. If this is the penis, if a scarring occurs over here, it pulls it to that side.
Uh-huh.
So it scars it. And there are... And, you know, certainly trauma can cause it, but that doesn't typically do it. Some situations improve with 800 units of vitamin E a day.
Okay.
And that's what's advocated. There is a surgery to correct it, but in order to do it, if this is the penis, they have to shorten this end to bring it back around.
You don't want that.
No.
Let's
try the vitamin E.
And
go to 1,000.
And the curves are normal. Relax. You'll move around as you grow older.
You're
too.
Fine. Yeah.
You won't have to move as much in bed.
You know, when you beat off, you don't pull it to the side
Adam,
that you're
Adam,
using.
You don't have to make the beat off motion right over
I
your
do.
Penis.
I do.
Every time, Adam.
The words beat off.
He's got a great stroke here, folks.
You can't say
McEnroe couldn't compete with that stroke.
I'm telling you, it's a championship stroke, people.
Oh my God!
All right.
When you beat off
Jane's Addiction here. Well, let's hear a song. Let's hear a song off the new CD.
This is welcome to the new single coming out. It's Just Because.
Are we premiering this?
No, absolutely not. It's been out for weeks.
Come on, man. She can't just go along, Steve.
That's the first time I said it though. Before it came on.
This is called Just Because.
What was
Jane's Addiction, everybody. Off the new CD, Strays. Very nice. Very nice new song off of that CD, Just Because. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Perry and Steven are here, and then Chris and Dave Navarro are going to come in here in after the next break. So we'll take a quick break.
Tag
team. We'll be right back. Yeah, Drew's favorite song, everybody.
If you can only see him moving.
It's like his neck isn't attached to his shoulders the way he moves. Jane's Addiction is here.
You were supposed to bring that tape in where I'm really the...
I was?
Popping a rap or what?
Izzle for chiseled, isn't it?
Oh, I was supposed to bring it in?
You said you would, yeah.
I lied.
All right.
I thought you had it. Stephen Perkins is here as well. The new CD is called Strays, but it's not out for until the 22nd of July. The Lollapalooza tour is kicking off this weekend. And where's it kicking off?
Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah. You guys are going to have to go out there.
Yep.
How do you decide where it starts and where it finishes?
Is it a dart?
Well, no. I mean, there's common routings. And you want to sometimes work out some kinks, so you want to start out in what they call a tertiary market, which is a nice way of saying middle America.
guys that are drunk on malt liquor with mullets and don't really care. You don't want to kick it off in New York, and you don't want to kick it off in L.A. And it's just like if there's a play, you want to go off Broadway a little bit, work out some of the bumps.
Good way to put it.
Go. Right.
Yeah.
But this,
and we also want to, you know, and the routing should be consistent. So if you start in the center, you could work your way out. It's another way to look at it too.
Right. Right. So starting in the center of the country, work out how many dates?
30.
Holy Christ! And that is in what period of time?
It's about 60 days.
Mm. So every other day you're on stage?
Just that, about.
Average,
yeah.
Yeah, good times.
We're on stage every day somewhere, in our bathrooms and bedrooms somewhere.
We're all on God's stage, after all.
All the world's
except for
stage.
When we're beating off in the shower.
That's right. Peronis. All alone then.
Giving yourself Peronis.
Olson?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Me and my girlfriend, she like told me that she wants to bang me, right? And
just bang you.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but I'm kind of worried because I like got hair like growing on my penis, like on the penis.
On the penis.
Yeah.
How far
have you let it grow? I mean, you got a scissors or what?
No, it hasn't gone too far, but like it's gone like where you could see it. And I'm afraid that she's gonna freak out on me. And
so what? Does it look like a paint roller? Like a nappy paint roller?
No, it just like looks like hair on the penis.
All the way up the shaft.
No, not all the way, like you know, like in the beginning.
How many inches? Normal.
Yeah, you're. Normal. Yeah, I think you're in the safe zone.
Drew, tell us if we're crazy here, but you can't grow hair all the way up the penis.
There is such a thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's pretty rare.
It's tough to do at 15.
Yeah. You'll get a couple of strays going halfway up there, kid. Don't worry about it.
That's the name of our record. There it is.
Yeah.
If you're worried, you take a razor to it.
I mean, listen.
That's why I said you got a scissors, right?
Olson, yeah. when you have an erection, how far does the hair go up the shaft?
Like, like.
What percentage of the length of the penis?
Oh, it's like six.
But listen, you know, people do this all the time on this show where they go. People go.
He's trying to multiply. He's trying to double what it really is. He's going
six, eight, 12 inches there.
Here's what I always say. The kids, I'm a little tough on them, but Drew always goes, take it easy. The guy's 15. But I'm always like, I wasn't retarded when I was 15. You're a little bit slower. Your vocabulary isn't what it is
today.
Could
you call the national radio show at 15?
Yes.
No.
I'm telling you. Look, if some guy asks me, look, when you have an erection, how far up the penis does the hair go? I could say halfway or just about an inch from the base or whatever. It wouldn't take me 20 minutes to spit that out, especially when I've been staring at my half-hairy penis for the last 5 years.
But I think, to go back, I think his girl will be okay with it and go on and, as you say, bang her.
Yeah.
Bang away.
Now, also,
Wear condoms.
We're going to try one more time.
She's not going to see the hair anyway. We're going to wear a condom.
The answer is Gillette Sensor.
Yeah, it's going to look like a black guy in a shower cap. But the big fro.
What if she notices and she freaks out?
Would you shut up? Tell me how far that hair goes up your penis.
Like an inch away. Like, I don't know. An inch.
Tell her that an they inch? Made you do it when you shot the porno movie. They made you shave.
Inch is fine.
Inch is nothing. You have a regular sized penis?
Yeah, I guess.
All right,
you're fine.
You're just 20% up the shaft.
Don't worry, she might have just be happy that she wants to bang you.
And she might have some hair in places that you might not be.
Huh?
You give it a 4-inch penis?
Oh, 20%?
5-inch penis.
I thought it would be 6. Oh, maybe you're right. We'll work that out. Yeah, yeah. Give him a 5-inch penis. That's fair, isn't it, Olson?
That's nice.
It's 15 after all. All right.
15.
Okay.
I thought it was fairly generous.
She might have some hair in some places that she could be embarrassed of.
Yeah.
You know,
that's fine.
Yeah, but
we're just
time.
People.
It's good times. We're all guts.
Good
creatures.
Times. There could be some funky smell coming from your job. I'm not kidding you.
Shauna, you're 25.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I started a new job, and I'm attracted to my bosses.
Bosses?
Yes.
What kind of job?
Multiple. It's a mortgage company.
Mortgage. Mm. How many bosses?
Well, there's two owners, but all the men in the office are really good looking.
You stinking whore.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But I'm not. Wow. I'm not
no,
boss.
Of course not.
All right, so you're attracted to a bunch of guys. Are they a lot older than you?
No, I mean, 30s.
Does it have anything to do with them paying you on a weekly basis?
No, absolutely not.
What's your question?
I don't know what to do. I mean,
you shouldn't date people who are in supervisory positions over here.
Sure. Position kind
yeah,
of thing.
That's not going
to
work.
I understand that. No, it's not. But
hey.
I just don't know what to do with the sexual tension. I dated a guy for 2.5 years, long distance relationship in college. And
so
I guess,
you're a little bit tense then, aren't you?
It's been a while?
Yes, absolutely.
You're pent up?
This might have been the wrong phone number to call then.
Yeah, what are you doing over there at the mortgage banking place?
What's the address?
Oh, goodness.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, you have any other place to meet guys?
Well, of course, but the guys here are just, they're terrible.
Where's
do you do at the mortgage?
Where's here, by the way, in your apartment?
No, Denver.
I know, but you're working in Denver, right?
Right.
We got a bunch of guys that are in Denver working under the same roof you're in that you're really attracted to. There's no more other guys in Denver that you like?
No. I mean, they're really far. I mean, the guys that I am meeting are not from Colorado, and they constantly are coming and going with business or whatnot.
All right. Look, here's the deal. If there's a guy, let's face it, you're not going to make a career out of this place, right?
Oh, absolutely not, no.
Yeah, what do you want to do? You gotta hook up with someone who's got a couple bucks and call it a life, right?
So quit the job and date the guy.
Yeah, or date the guy for a while and then quit the job.
Or play both ends and see which one comes up with more.
Yeah.
Woo. That's what I would
right.
do.
Door one, two, or three?
It's part of your job. I mean, look at it this way, Drew. I know it sounds condescending. Now we're out of time. But for a lot of women who just become mothers and housewives, and there's nothing wrong with them. I'm not trying to be condescending. That's a life. That's a career. That's what they do. Isn't part of their career sort of finding a guy who can provide for them, who can do a good job? That's what a lot of women ultimately end up doing. Why is that not, in a sense, their job? You're looking for the best hospital to work for, the best firm to go to, the best college to go. Maybe they should be looking for the best guy and call it a life.
All right.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank now you. Get barefoot and get in the kitchen, you bitches. All right, I'm sorry.
So scary.
I got scared. All right, but it wasn't meant to be condescending.
Yeah.
Jane's Addiction. All right, I want to say Perry and Steven are leaving. And then we're going to meet Chris and David from the band.
And that's us clapping. No.
It was a delight, fellas.
It was a pleasure.
We'll talk to you soon. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Buddy, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Now the changing of Jane's
changing
addiction.
Changing of the guard. What's up?
Chris Chaney's here. Dave Navarro is
here. Hello,
hello.
Saw
hey, fellas.
You guys at the Weenie Roast and thought you rocked. I had a great time.
We thought we did, too. Thank you. Thank
good
you.
Night.
We had a great time. Good times,
yeah,
as you say here on the show.
Very nice.
Good times.
And very good on good my buddy Jimmy's show, too, as well. That was a nice night.
Jim Kimmel.
Yes, on Friday
Once again,
night.
Big good times.
At the end. Good times.
Good times.
Yeah, so it's got to be nice. And I was just thinking, not to screw with Chris, but Dave, you know, you walk around the stage with shirt off, the guitar hanging down low, and just running all over the place.
Can you believe it? It really, where do I get the nerve?
I just thought, it's just what a life, you know? I just thought, how cool is it to be cool?
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't know where this was going.
No, I just thought, you know.
It is, you know what? It is an amazing life we have. And we're so lucky. It's 13 years after the fact. We got the band back together. We're doing great. We've never gotten along better.
Really?
Lollapalooza kicking off. Yeah, it's killer. It's killer.
Do you find, like, just a general sort of been to hell and back, and lack of testosterone production has helped everyone getting along? Like, everyone becomes like a bunch of dogs that have been neutered now.
No, I think what helps us get along is that we all have
families.
I mean,
families. In a good way.
In
we
a
have
good
families.
Way.
We have families.
We have families, and Perry says this, and I totally agree with him, is that now we know how to take care of ourselves and in turn take care of others, and then we bring that element back into the band.
Right.
Whereas in the old days, it was totally hedonistic and self-destructive, and, you know, and hey, that was fun,
and
too.
And everyone was high as a kite.
That
right?
was fun, too. Yeah, we don't
How
shoot drugs anymore, which really
when
helps.
When you can't take care of yourself.
Yeah, I could...
wise words from the silent Chris Chaney.
Yeah, so, good. I'm glad to hear that. And it's nice. And, you know, Drew, do you see... it? Like, back in the day, this didn't seem to work. It seems people seem to be able to pull it off now.
What's that?
What are you talking about?
I just mean, like, in the past when it seemed like bands from the 60s tried to pull it back together to go on tour. Like,
they lost their cool.
Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I would notice this from watching Behind the Music. What would happen is the band would have success. The band, then infighting would start.
Sure,
A lot of prima donnas, a lot of substance abuse. The band would self-destruct.
Yeah.
They'd break up.
But those bands were enormous.
Right.
And we never got there. We broke up right before we were about to break, babe.
Well, all right, but...
That, and in those days, the addictions ran amok.
Well, I think that's what it is.
Completely unraveled the personality.
The bands would come undone.
They do that these days, too.
No, but people can get it together in recovery.
6 years later, they try to get it back together for a reunion, whatever, and it would explode again.
Look at the Beach Boys or something like that. You know what I mean? They were all
that's what I'm saying.
Mess
by
10 years later.
Thank God that Stamos kid is playing the congas in the background. I think he became the glue that pulled the band back together. All right. Dave Navarro is considered the Mexican Stamos, by the way.
Oh, really?
You know
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. He's often called that.
The Mexican Stamos.
Yeah.
Although I recently purchased an Italian horn, as you can see right here.
Wow.
To create the illusion that perhaps he's Italian.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dave has an opinion about the old women that answer the telephone.
Did we talk to him about
that? No, I wonder if he has an opinion about
that. Well, let's hear it.
Well, I think that, hold on a second. I think the, who were we talking to about this?
The woman from Legally Blonde 2.
Oh, right.
Reese Witherspoon.
No. Alana Ubach.
Right. Her girlfriend in the show was on the thing, and she's Puerto Rican and Mexican, and I wanted to know.
She's Puerto Rican and Mexican.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that's
the double entendre right there.
Oh, wow,
Yeah, it's rough, but she's
doing
got
well.
A lot of dignity.
She's doing good.
Hey, she's talk about overcoming adversity. But she's really hey, I mean, she probably collapses into a heap when she gets home every night. But she really kept the kept a stiff upper lip in here. But I was asking her about this. Now, Dave, I don't know. Is your family speak Spanish? Do they into that whole vibe?
Some of them do. We're all from L.A., so there's very few of us that speak fluent Spanish.
Oh, okay.
But go ahead, bring it.
Well, I work with a lot of Spanish guys.
Okay.
Mexican guys.
Let's call it spade.
I work with a lot of wetbacks, to be honest with you. And, hey. That's what I yell. I just come into my house and I scream, sit down.
We're going to take a break and we're going to get back into...
Actually, I mix it with the... Gayete! Siéntate! I think one is like, shut up and then sit down. But
let's hear the question.
All right, the question is why is it whenever I call them at their house, an old lady answers the phone, and when I say...
It's because they all live together.
All right, but I go, hello, and they go, hello? And I go, is Roberto there? And they go, who? And I'm like, Roberto? And they go, no, you're not here! And I was picturing someone holding a gun on him and, like, waving. I'm like, listen, old lady.
You have to understand. Okay, I can answer that question.
Yeah, why is
What did you? First of all, what was the answer you got from your friend?
From From her? She didn't seem to know. She seemed to, they're suspicious.
She said that's the old ladies. That's the way they are. They're all very suspicious.
Who buys some time? Who buys time?
But I will tell you this. It does buy time, but also there's a lot going on in the background. You got TVs. You got vacuum cleaners.
Grease fire.
You got people running around. Stove, yeah. Kids looking for their pants because they want to go swimming. You know, it's just nuts.
That's another question I have.
It's nuts.
Do you guys own one pair of trunks, or is it just...
just a pair of pants that we take into the beach, and then we go out to dinner.
Here's what Mexicans got.
Why change?
They got jeans. They got jeans for walking around, and then they got their swimming jeans, which were cut. They cut 3.5 inches off the bottom, and those are the jeans they swim in. It's like, and the stuff's got to be wet for like three
I'm
weeks
telling
after
you,
that.
I've got your answer. I don't know why that is.
They don't like to dry. I see.
But I'm always thinking
beach,
about the drive home from the beach.
With the sand in your pants.
With the sand in the car, 15 people in the car, and going all the way back to who knows where.
You got denim. You got the underpants hanging out the back. You got three buckets of sand in the hanging on the joint there. Like, yeah. Someone's got to introduce. And it's weird too because. I don't know. They're not people. I don't think they could pull the Speedo off too well.
No.
And they're not Speedo people. But someone has to introduce a sort of mid-thigh trunk to them that dries with a nice net lining in there.
It's true.
All right, what were we talking about? All right, so yeah, the Who and then the...
The Who is buying time, as you said. And right. Also, there may be more than one Roberto.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That
could be confusing.
Right.
Truthfully.
Right.
And then the second thing is that there's probably kids running around, vacuum cleaners,
stuff's
television's
going. Stuff's going on.
As
right.
we went before.
And older,
so.
Older minds can't keep track.
And they can't hear so well.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And they're probably speaking in the wrong end of the phone.
But then the no, he's not here sounds almost frantic and sort of forced, you know? Maybe they're just selling it.
Maybe.
They have a flair for the dramatic.
It's possible. Yeah. It's possible.
Anyway, I always feel
they
bad.
Don't know.
After
they're not
I
sure
up.
If you're 5-0 or not. I think it's
right.
probably that.
Steve? your son? I like. I see if my mom could do that one of these days.
Oh,
I'm going to pick up the phone.
That would be a good trick.
Hello, is Adam
Steve.
There? All right.
Steve, what do you got?
Hey, guys, what's happening?
What's happening?
What's up?
Hey, just to let you guys know, Kayate, I work with Mexicans too. Kayate doesn't mean shut up.
Oh, yeah. What's
that? We knew that.
Yeah, sit down. What's sit down? Okay.
I don't know how to ask for more forks and knives and shit like that.
Language, Steve. Come on, man.
Plus, with the stereotyping of our Latino brothers,
Steve?
I've heard enough.
I happen to be Latino, for Christ's sake.
Yeah,
Jesus.
That's why he can say what he says, and I happen to work with them, so I can say what I want. Siéntate. Jennifer.
Grandes éxitos en español.
Jennifer.
All right.
What?
Hi, Jennifer.
Oh. Hello.
You're talking to Dave and Chris Chaney of Jane's Addiction with new album Strays in stores July 22nd.
What's
your question?
Lollapalooza starting in three days.
Okay, well, my question was, why do I have so much confidence in myself, like the way I look, when really I'm not that good looking?
You're fat.
Oh, drum, please.
Because
hold on a second.
Explain.
Can you really do that,
sweetheart? Just be happy that you have it. Believe me.
I mean, you have
you're confident.
Your self-esteem. You have very high self-esteem, right?
But it's not getting me anywhere.
Well, wait a minute. There's two types of feminine self-esteem. There's the sort of feeling empowered and feeling strong, and then there's the one you get from a lot of drunk guys wanting to F you constantly, you know?
Right.
I get the feeling that you're calling from Bakersfield. This is more the drunk guys wanting to F you self-esteem.
Is it, or is it just that your parents built adequate self-esteem? It doesn't matter to her what she looks like.
Well, a lot of guys hit on me. A lot of guys.
See, I got
you know
that.
What? Let's just face it. You're smoking. Sign up to Friendster.
No, I think it's more like, I like a bitch with a big ass. Come here. Is it that kind of thing?
Me?
Yeah. How you built?
I'm thick.
You big gal?
Yeah.
All right. And you got a lot of guys hitting on you.
Yeah.
Where do you meet these guys?
I don't really meet guys. Like, I've only had two boyfriends, but they haven't worked out, so I've just given up on guys right now.
Let me ask you a question. Why is this a problem?
Yeah, what's your question?
Why am I so scared of guys? Like, my confidence...
What's going on with Dad, hon? Let's get into that one.
Forgot.
What's going on with Dad?
Dave said some therapy. The only Mexican in the United States that had any therapy at all. It all went to one Mexican. Crazy. What's up? Yeah, where's Dad?
My dad?
Yeah.
Well, I have a stepdad, but...
No, your biological dad.
Yeah.
My real dad, I have no idea.
How old were you when he left?
I never... He wasn't even there for my birth.
And do we know anything about him?
No.
How's your stepdad? Yeah.
My stepdad, well, I was brought up thinking he was my dad, and then they told me a couple years later he wasn't my dad. I mean, I was adopted by him and everything.
How was he?
But it sounds to me like you have like a natural understanding or fear of betrayal and abandon.
But the stepdad wasn't so hot either.
It was stepdad.
That's betrayal.
Was he a decent guy?
My stepdad?
Yes.
No, I really hate him.
Okay.
There you go. See, Dave got to it. Why do you hate the guy so much?
I was young. Things happened.
He sexually abused her?
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
There you go.
Well, let's not rush to judgment.
That's why people get big sometimes, too, to protect themselves and keep people pushed away.
It's true.
But, I mean, I'm big, and I'm still confident, but I get up.
Yeah, you know what? Jeff, you're not confident. You're angry. You're like hostile and aggressive. That's not confident.
Well, how do I fix
that? That's bravado.
How do I fix this?
And that's keeping people away from you. That's not actually really being close.
Jennifer, here's the thing. If your how long does this go on with your stepfather?
Maybe like 5 years.
Mm. All right.
Do you still stay in touch with him?
Excuse me?
Do you still stay in touch with him?
No, not really.
Good. You don't live at home?
No.
Okay. You're living on your own?
Well, I'm living with friends.
How old are you?
I'm 18.
All right. So here's the plan, Jennifer.
Get into some therapy, Jen.
Yeah.
Write him a letter of everything you don't, or just everything about him that you wish he never did.
Yeah, and then don't bother sending it. That's worthless.
Or do that.
And send it.
Excuse me?
Hey, Jennifer.
Excuse me?
Don't listen to Chris.
He's drunk, people.
He's been drinking some red wine.
Yeah, I kind of thought so.
Okay.
Seriously, I would recommend some therapy because that's something that can be overcome, and it might explain the food thing.
It's pretty heavy. It's pretty heavy trauma.
And, yeah. No pun intended.
And right now what that creates is an intolerance of closeness. And in order for you to feel the capacity for closeness again, it's going to require some kind of recovery and some kind of relationship that's genuine. And it's not going to happen in your romantic relationships. Well, you're going to continue to be aggressive and push people away in that sphere.
Well, through this, I've gotten really, really close to my mom.
All right. Well, that's good. So you got a relationship going. Maybe that's why you feel sort of good enough to call and ask.
Good, but did mom know what was going on?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah,
but are you mad at her for letting
it
happen?
That's got to be an issue.
She didn't know, so I totally understand.
She didn't know at the time.
But
the capacity to forgive mom is actually a healthy one. But I totally agree with Dave. If
all right, I'll just give you. Let's talk realistically here. Don't get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Number one job.
Amen.
Do not get pregnant. Number two, start a career, start a life, get on with your life. And number three. I don't know if you can afford individual counseling. It doesn't sound like you can.
I was trying to think of a 12-step program.
Find a group. Open the phone book. Survivors of incest, rape, whatever. Get involved with a group
There's
cheap.
For this.
And just start the process.
There's groups
just
that are
begin
free.
The process. That's all. And as far as I'm confident, I'm angry, I'm this, I'm that, I got a fat ass, dudes like me. Don't start. Don't dissect that.
Don't think.
Stop thinking. Let Dave do the thinking. All right? You're all on Dave's bus. Let him drive.
It all went to him. All the therapy.
Yeah. Every therapy for all of Mexico.
Yeah, if you're Hispanic, you're out of luck.
It all
went to Dave.
He used it all up. He's the world's healthiest Mexican.
You good, Jen? You know what to do?
She knows.
She knows.
Okay, she's gone.
No, she can hear us.
Yeah, okay, great.
All right. Let Dave drive. That's my point. Cheryl?
Cheryl.
Yeah.
You're 24?
Yes.
What's up?
I guess I got in a car accident last November, my husband and I just got married last July, and ever since I've been in the accident, I can't feel anything for him. Like, I love him to death, but I'm not in love with him.
Was he driving?
No, he actually wasn't in the car.
He wasn't in the car.
Did you have a head injury?
Yeah. I got rear-ended by a guy going up almost 50 miles an hour, and my car totaled.
Were you stopped, you mean?
There was rush hour traffic downtown Minneapolis, and some guy didn't have brake lights. So everybody tapped everybody. That was okay. It was bearable. And then the guy behind me wasn't paying attention. So when he hit me, I, took all the impact, and he hit me hard enough that when I hit the car in front of me again, my airbags went off.
Let me ask you a question. How did your husband treat you after this happened?
Well,
was he there for you?
Back, when he came and picked me up, mm-hmm. he really didn't say anything. He
well, there you go.
That's,
there
that explains mad. A lot
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. Well, now, wow. so did you have a concussion?
Right to the source there.
Oh, yeah. I actually went to a neuropsychologist, and I guess apparently when you have, when your two sides of your brains are, or your brain are measured, there shouldn't be more than a point difference between your left and your right.
Right.
Does that sound right? And there's 6 points.
What? Which side's not working?
Well, what I was told is that I have a frontal lobe injury.
Oh, boy.
Let me. Can I just interject here about the love element of this wow. call, which is if my partner wasn't there for me after a traumatic situation like that, I would rethink some things.
That's
and
enough.
It would be pretty natural.
Yeah. However, frontal lobe, particularly right frontal lobe injuries, can make it extremely difficult to have attachment. And it can make they have tremendous personality changes. They seem sort of flat. They can't contain their impulses, and they don't attach normally. They don't connect to people normally.
So that's her perception.
That's her brain. That's
yeah, but let me ask you this. Is this happening with other people or just the husband?
This is just, the weird thing is that this is just happening with him. I can't seem to love him. I have lust towards other people, but
right.
I don't want,
this
I
is
don't
sort
want
of, it's called a Kluver-Busey syndrome. They get hypersexual, but they don't connect. They don't have attachments
yeah,
and things.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to.
Have you acted
too bad? Right?
Yeah, and this can go on for a while. They put you on a medication for this, Integritol or anything like that?
No, I was. The only medication I got put on after that was Effexor.
Okay.
Because I was having a lot of
There's
depression.
Typically depression with this.
But why Effexor? Oh, because of the depression?
And it's, you know, that's has multiple avenues of it's not a serotonin deficiency, it's a diffuse brain injury, and so.
So if you talk to anybody about this?
But it doesn't seem that Effexor would necessarily, I mean, I'm just talking to you here.
It might not help. It certainly won't help with this attachment issue.
That's what I'm saying.
But time will. It's only been what?
7 8 months,
some of that. Oof.
Yeah.
How's your husband taking it?
Well, we had another talk last night, and I told him how I felt again, and he basically said, you know, I've been raping you for the last, you know, 7 months because you don't want to be with me, and he's having a real tough time. He wouldn't even look at me. He won't.
I can't think of the titles offhand, but I know there are a couple of books out there about this, of what happens to couples when there's been a brain injury and how to try to reattach and form new attachments, and it's challenging. It is really challenging.
Does he understand that there's a medical situation going on here, and it's not just you rejecting him?
He came to with me to the neuropsychologist, and he explained it to him, and so he said he understood, but when I brought it up again last night, he's like, I don't think it's your accident.
Oh, wow, see, he can't. It's hard for people, just because you look like the same person and you act the same, he can't comprehend that you've had a marked change in your subjective experience.
And listen, as Dave tapped into early in the call, before all the neuro stuff started going on, she's angry. I mean, he's not helping his case at all by not only she sort of...
now he's the victim all of a sudden.
He's neurologically pissed off in terms of the brain injury, but she's also pretty pissed off at him. Just emotionally.
Because he won't accept what's happening.
Yeah,
and he's becoming the victim in the situation.
Right.
What about me? What about me?
Right.
When you're the one who had the tragedy.
Right.
Well, that's actually what he said last night. He's like, what about me?
Did they recommend any treatment at the neuropsychiatrist? Neuropsychologist?
You were on
it, Dave. No, I'm actually going back to see him again on Thursday because I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, you obviously need a little couples work here, and you should be working with a psychologist that really understands the complexity of your neurologic situation.
That's the thing, and I did start seeing a therapist a couple weeks ago because I have other underlying issues that, you know, kind of have added.
Such as?
What
are those?
Well, he still has a real problem. I told him after we started dating that I lost my virginity because I was raped.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of like, well, I think girls are too quick to call it rape. And that's all he's ever said about
it. So he's being insensitive about a number of issues here.
Wow.
Well, I think...
And I think it's pretty obvious why you're withdrawing
maybe
from
this head injury knocked some sense into her. She's actually seeing what a jerk this guy is.
It didn't seem like you're so wild about him in the first place. Yeah.
Those are two traumatic things that he's been insensitive to you, and this guy's supposed to be your lifetime partner.
Yeah, I know, and I think he's the kind of person. I felt bad for him because I know he didn't have a great life growing up.
It's not your responsibility. Codependent no more, my Melanie Beattie.
Yeah.
Pick it up.
Yeah. And he should read The Idiot's Guide to Raping Your Wife if she's had a brain injury.
And while we're on it, she should read that book, too.
Joe Bangman.
If you know that story, right?
All right. Well, we never had that call before.
Yeah, and I've heard those stories before. They're tough.
But look, at first it was like it's an emotional thing, then it was a brain injury, then it started to bleed back into the emotional side.
Right.
She's angry, this guy.
It's got a lot of elements to this.
Yeah. So, I don't know. This, by the way, you don't get married at 22. It just doesn't work.
Didn't work for me.
It doesn't work for anybody, really, unless you're really super stupid and you got nothing going on in your life. But if you're the world's smartest
Mexican... Or if there's big money involved.
Yeah.
Big money. Big dollars.
Yeah.
In that case, it's acceptable.
Let's take ourselves a little break. Chris Chaney's here. Dave Navarro. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jane's Addiction is here. Chris Chaney, Dave Navarro.
What's up? Good evening.
New CD, Strays, is coming out on July 22nd in the
722 to you and me.
Lollapalooza tour starts in 3 days.
That's right. Well, we leave in three. We leave when we leave? We leave
Wednesday
Thursday.
Wednesday or Thursday? Thursday.
I think the opening night is Indiana on Friday.
Friday night. But you guys aren't nervous, right? I mean, you've been playing a lot lately.
No, we're excited.
Yeah.
It's not nervousness you're feeling, it's excitement.
Anticipation.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's when you've practiced, you're good.
It's going to be a great rock show.
Now, where does Jane's Addiction go on in the lineup? Like,
last.
Do you want to go last?
Yeah, well, we're dead last, but we're also headlining, so.
Yeah, like, I've been
it's
to
exciting.
Some things where it's like last isn't necessarily headlining if there's enough bands. Like, if there's 10 bands, you want to go on eighth, not last. For instance, or depending on what the venue is and what the deal is. But, like, I always think of the Weenie Roast. Mm. I think you want to go on, like, second or third to last, not last.
The thing is, at Lollapalooza, it keeps going after us, even, and it turns into an all-night thing.
Oh, really?
So you can hang out there, and there's a rave there, and, you know. So
there's
lots to
raves.
Do.
Really?
There still are.
Weenie Roast people are trying to beat traffic. You know?
Yeah.
It's like the last 20 minutes of the set, they're making their way for the door.
People have been drinking, too, since 10 a.m.,
yeah.
So you're starting to get a little sloppy, like starting to come undone.
I mean, I left the Weenie Roast this year before we were even done.
It was unbelievable. It was actually unbelievable.
Let's talk to Alyssa, who's 16.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, this is how sweet.
We're doing very well.
You are so sweet. Isn't this exciting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
I was just wondering, Dave, how you and Carmen are doing.
We're doing really well, thank you.
That's good. When are you guys getting married?
We're looking at November.
Really?
Would you like to come?
Oh, so yeah.
Because I think Carmen wants to have it at the Staples Center.
Are you serious?
No.
It's 50.
I actually know somebody had their birthday party at the Staples Center.
Really?
Yes.
No, she's like
in one of the boxes.
She is. I'll tell her you said hello.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, could you imagine
we want to go to your wedding.
Yeah. You're welcome to come.
You
welcome
two trying to pull this.
There's going to be plenty of counseling needed at that thing, so.
Yeah, true.
Save a chair for you.
Bring your lamp coat. Hey, Dave, can you imagine pulling off this relationship, like, for both you, like, 8 years ago, 10 years ago?
Absolutely not.
It'd be
absolutely not.
Right?
Impossible.
Yeah, that's why you can't get married when you're 22. Alyssa.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
No, that's all I could think of. I just wanted to see how they were doing.
Are you disappointed that they're doing well?
No.
Okay, because
no,
it takes pulls Dave and Carmen
Alyssa,
off the market.
You gotta,
you know?
By the way, since I have you here on the phone, you must get a voiceover agent.
Oh.
Start doing cartoons, commercials, anything you can get your voice on.
Yeah, let's hear you say, Mom, I'm not feeling so fresh.
Mom, I'm not feeling so fresh.
Unbelievable. Gotta go. Where's the men's room?
That's good. You know what's always nice is when you do those voiceovers, they go, just give us three. Give us three. Just give us three. Like when after you've done 28, they always need three. You go, Mom, I'm not feeling so fresh. Mom, I'm not feeling so fresh. Hey, Mom, not feeling so fresh. And then always like, I just give us three more. They always do a bunch. You ever do that? It sucks. Drew, I don't have that kind of range. You ever do any Drew, what do you do? You never do anything, do you?
Never do anything. I do like commentary.
We do PSAs.
You're in the business of saving lives.
PSAs, but I'll do like voiceovers over documentary kind of things. You know,
it'll be good. Drew, you know what I'm going to do so you can get some voiceover work?
Yeah.
I'm going to create a wooden cigar store Indian that comes to life.
Oh, if it comes to life, though, they won't be able to use me.
Yeah, no, you do but the it's voice half, half alive, so you have half a wooden alive, mechanical. Okay.
But right. You do the voice, right?
Yeah,
voice.
But if it came to life, people
wouldn't
be believe.
True. Yeah.
It has to be fully, completely it's stiff.
It's still be wooden, yeah. Half, I'll make him sort of like he's coming out of his
all right,
wooden.
All right. Perfect, thank you.
Yeah, it'll be good.
That'd be nice.
Kendall?
Hey.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up, Adam and Drew? I love you guys. Big fan of the show.
Great.
Hey, what's up, Jane's Addiction?
What's up, Kendall?
I'm a big fan. I think you guys rock. Actually, to be honest, I didn't really, I always liked you guys, but then you came out with that Just Because song. It's awesome.
Wow.
Such a good song.
You have no idea how happy that makes us. Thank you.
Seriously, I always liked your music, but then that song was like, you know what? These guys are talented. I like this song.
Well, let me tell you something, Kendall. Not only is that song terrific, but the whole album is terrific.
And in 22 days, I'll be there.
Well, let's play some more off the album tonight.
We will. In fact, if you purchase this album, not only do you get a great rock record, but you will become more attractive and more interesting.
Your penis will grow.
And funnier.
Wow. I could use all of that.
Yeah, so pick it up.
Hey, I was at the Weenie Roast, and I'm not a big fan of the Deftones, really, so I went to go get, like, a kebab. And as I was walking out of the stadium, I heard you guys come on with your surprise performance.
Yeah.
And I ran back in, and it just made my day.
Without the kebab?
Oh, I
we are honored.
Lost my hunger.
We are honored. What's the question, Kendall?
Well, my question was two questions, actually. How did you guys get started? And also, where'd you get your name? I don't really...
Well, all that stuff is available on the Internet. We're trying to help people here, Kendall.
Thanks, Kendall. Kendall, you're calling from...
I might be psychologically unbalanced if I don't...
Not at all. We got the name from a friend of ours, and we got started in 1986 just playing clubs around L.A.
All right.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Good times there.
I look forward to your album.
Thank you, Kendall.
Kendall's brand's been cooking out there in La Crescenta. Give him a break.
105 degrees. I used to live in La Crescenta. I wonder where he lives. Hey, we're not hearing a second song off the
no,
CD.
Let's go to the phones. Let's help people.
I was just kidding.
Let's
oh, you are?
Wow. We're here to save lives.
All right.
This is track number 4. It's my particular favorite.
If they let us premiere a song. I didn't think they would.
Oh, okay.
The remix of this is unbelievable, by the way.
Drew, you kidding is like the president starting a press conference and saying, we've just bombed Cuba. And then him going, what? I'm screwing around. Come on. Give me a break. Like, if you don't expect it, you can...
All right,
it's confusing.
All right. Yeah. Well, just make sure you're away.
Yeah.
Sunny. 23.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
What's up, Sonny?
Not much. Long time listener, first time caller here.
Great.
Riverside, speaking of hot.
Ooh.
Well, actually, I'm in Fontucky right now.
Oof.
So, I had a question for anybody who can answer it, actually. Me and my wife trying to get pregnant, and we're kind of on a time schedule because she's older than me. And
how old is she?
She's 14 years older than me.
How old is that?
37?
37, exactly.
All
right. Right.
Who's the mathematician in there? now, I'm like a chronic masturbator, I'm telling you. I mean,
yeah.
I'm kind of worried about my...
Who isn't?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I'm talking like on an average of maybe 5 times a day, average.
They generally recommend you kind of back it down when you're trying to get somebody pregnant. Before. Yeah, how about now?
Well, now it's like down to like maybe twice a day if I'm lucky.
How long have you been married?
9 months.
9 months. Well, so you still got a chance. Because the longer you're married, the more you're going to masturbate.
Yeah. Sounds like you're in the honeymoon phase of beating off,
yes.
By the way.
Save the baby batter for your wife.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I didn't like deplete my soldiers, you know?
I'll tell you what's depressing.
No, you can't run out of sperm. You can lower your sperm count a little bit by actively masturbating at the time in which you're trying to get somebody pregnant.
Oh, you can.
A little bit.
But over there in Riverside, the dog days of summer, when you're beating off, the jizz hits the corrugated steel floor of the trailer, and it just starts bubbling.
No, I was truly treasure, Missouri, man.
Batter on a griddle. All right. Hey, listen, after you have the kid, you get out of Riverside, right?
No, we're going to move.
Yeah, good. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, get out of Riverside. No, we're moving out of Riverside.
Okay.
Hey, Sonny.
Yeah.
Sonny, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, thanks,
bud. Because I think it's considered child abuse to bring a kid up in Riverside.
Thanks for giving us a great example, one of our callers, though. Yeah, Sonny, you got to move. No, we're going to move. We have the kid. It's like, thanks.
No.
That's our call.
I don't know what happened in this country. Everyone likes to start a sentence with no. Like, you go... You must be tired from your journey. No, I'm not, but I am pretty tired from all the play around. You know, it's like, I think this started with the black
athlete.
Or
when you call someone and you clearly woke them up and you ask them if you woke them and it's always no.
No, no. Really? Because it's 4:18 a.m.
I think I woke you up.
Are you just
doing... No. It's good. What's up, man?
I'm just doing coke. Yeah, like, it's all right to be asleep when you should be asleep.
Yeah.
You know, I think this started with the black athlete where they go, they interview these guys after the game and they say, like, you didn't have a great game. You were, you know, you were, you had three baskets for 28 attempts. You think that affected the team at all? No, not at all. And then goes on to say how it did. But everything starts with no, not at all.
Absolutely.
And that's a weird negative way to get started with everything.
It's negative.
I don't think this country did that 40 years ago. Did everything just start with no?
I remember when we were doing the show earlier on, it used to only be directed at me, remember?
Yeah.
And now it's got bled over to you.
Yeah.
You notice that?
Uh-oh. I've become the man, too.
Yeah, see?
I see.
All
right.
Let's see what happens with Rebecca.
Rebecca, 14.
Hi.
On hold. Hi. 107 minutes.
Uh-oh. What's up, baby doll?
My ex-boyfriend.
Were you asleep?
No, I'm watching
see?
My hamster.
See? Once again, do you sleep? No.
You're watching your hamsters?
Yes, I have a hamster, and he's running laps in his tank.
I know how he feels.
We're all just hamsters running laps in our cosmic
What's going on, Rebecca?
Cage.
You don't sound so good.
What did your boyfriend do?
Well, he's my ex-boyfriend, and he's like a stalker, more or less.
How long has he been your ex?
About 2 or 3 years.
Whoa, since you were 12?
Yeah.
How old is he now?
He's 14, too.
So he's been stalking you since you were 11 or 12?
Yeah.
Can you get a juvenile restraining order?
Can you have a relationship that's close enough at 11 to create stalking?
We've observed his...
We can dig into the past. Let's find a solution now.
We've seen his big...
This is about solutions.
His big wheel was parked across the street.
We'd roll it by.
He was found just sitting there drinking a Yoo-Hoo on his big wheel, just parked across the street, smoking one of those candy powdered cigarettes. Oh, my God.
He's like an ICP fan. And like,
Insane Clown Posse?
No, you pansy!
Clown Posse?
Oh, boy, that explains a lot.
Wait, let's hear a little Insane Clown Posse.
Oh,
the only weight I lift is my own, my big fat ass every day when I wake up. That was pretty good. My fat ass. Oh, my God. Hey, play that again.
That guy's 12 is into that.
Sure.
Okay.
That wasn't blur.
Some hardcore stuff.
I think it was Black Grape.
All right. So listen.
2 years of stalking.
And tell us how he stalks.
Well, like last night. Well, it wasn't last night. It was in the morning. Mm-hmm. He started calling my house at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Hold on a second. Before yesterday, he wasn't stalking you?
No, he has been.
He
like,
has. For the past 2 years.
Okay. Have your parents gotten involved with this?
Yes, actually, they have.
All right. They need to take over now. This kid is disturbed. He may be doing drugs. He may be potentially harmed to himself. God knows what potential harm he could bring to you. He needs to be.
Get the hell out of her butthole, man.
Can they issue a restraining order for juveniles?
I'm sure they can.
Yeah, let's do it. Rebecca, let's get on that.
But more importantly, he needs to be probably in a hospital somewhere. And,
maybe so, but that's not her problem.
No, I know. That's why the parents need to deal with this.
Have you seen the restraining order height limitations? They have, like, Mickey Mouse, and he's sticking his arm out.
He must be this tall.
To receive a restraining order. Tell them they put you in a baby chair or something and tie you down.
Yeah.
Hey, Rebecca?
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you this. As bad as this guy is, you've been sort of dancing with him for a couple of years now, 2-3 years, you said, about this. Why have you taken 3 years to call us? Why have you taken 3 years to call the cops or your parents? Or
this could go back to an attention issue.
Yeah. What's up with you?
Do you like the attention?
No, like, I don't. But
why has it gone on so long?
My friend, like, she's not my friend no more because she's such a bitch. Like, she'll call me. And he'll be on the other line, and he'll be like, oh, I love you, I love you. I'm like, well, I hate you. And I'll hang up, and then they'll call back. And, like, I get the police involved, and they're like, well, I can't do anything.
So you have been getting
the police
involved.
You've called the police?
Yes, yes.
Right. When did you call the police?
Will be the third or fourth time.
All right.
And what about, does he go to the same school that you go to?
No, actually, right now he's in Iowa.
Right now. How about his parents?
He's in
so
Iowa.
It's long distance stalking.
Yeah.
How about his parents?
Is he like...
His mom hates me.
Have
so.
They been notified?
Yeah.
All right.
And how often does he call from Iowa?
Like, all the time. Like, it's a constant thing. I'm even lucky if I was on the phone tonight.
You know, you can block specific numbers from calling.
Just do that.
There's some simple solutions
Use technology, all right?
Yeah.
Block some numbers.
Block the number, mom and dad.
He's in Iowa. I didn't know he's in Iowa.
It's done.
Yeah, by the way, being in Iowa when you're 14 is like being in a Bangladesh or something. Yeah, I mean, that's a billion
miles away.
That's
probably more exciting.
Yeah.
Stalking becomes entertainment in Iowa, I believe.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you can't blame the guy.
It's one of their number one tourist attraction over there, stalking. It's right on the license plate, Home of the Stalkers. I think their college team is
the Stalkers.
Don't they have an arena football team called the Iowa
Stalkers?
Everyone
thought they were afraid of corn, but no.
They should call themselves like the Cornholers or something.
Speaking of that.
What?
Just for next, when we come back from the break.
Heather's 23. She said, you told her to update you about the first time she had anal sex.
Meaning,
who told her? Me?
You, yeah.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
How long ago?
We'll find out.
You know, I'll pick it up during the break, if you don't mind.
All right.
James is going to pick up pick up the brown phone there, Dave. Actually, that's the anal hotline. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Chains Addictions in studio tonight. Chris Chaney and Dave Navarro. Here from the band, Strays, name of the CD, going to be out on the 22nd. Then the big Lollapalooza tour starts, and that'll go on into the summer. Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne in here tomorrow night. Forgot to mention that. And then Carney Wilson after that. All right,
have you seen the Playboy?
Yes, I have.
I saw what's on the web.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't either.
So it's great.
Have you seen the new Rolling Stone, by the way?
Yeah, who's on the cover of that?
Clay Aiken. Clay. The runner-up of American Idol. Not even Reuben.
I don't think they could fit Reuben on the cover.
But he's got the source.
Doesn't Clay tell his story of abuse and abandonment and all kinds of stuff? That's what I heard.
Well, why is that in Rolling Stone?
I don't know.
That's my whole thing, too,
that's something for The Advocate, I think.
Here's the whole thing. Like, listen, I mean, this whole American Idol thing, which is like, hey, you're good. You got a good voice. You got a good singing voice. Everyone works with one person that has a really good voice. You know, if there's an office of more than 14 people, one of them can sing pretty damn good, usually. And why is it such a big deal? I don't understand. Like, really cover Rolling Stone? Because you covered a few songs?
What I don't understand. It's like Rolling Stone started putting actors on the cover, and that was a little, you know, we kind of accepted that. Mm. But now they're putting people who act like singers on the cover.
Right.
They don't even win. They're the runners-up. It's a little bizarre to me. It's a rock and roll magazine, for Christ's sake.
It's straight away. That's for sure.
I'm with you, and I'm wondering what their strategy is.
But it is a great article, by the way.
Oh, it is?
No, I know.
All right. What the hell were we talking about?
Anal sex.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're gonna get back to that?
Yeah. While there's still time to talk about it. Here we go.
Heather?
Yeah, hi guys.
23. When did we speak to you about anal sex?
It was last week.
And okay. Were you the one who had a lot of anal sex?
No, it was not me. This is my first time.
Okay.
You hadn't had it yet.
Well, the question that I had last week was that I got excited from anal stimulation, but that I was afraid to have anal sex because it hurt.
Right.
You know,
I remember that.
Right, you remember.
I think
yes.
I may have beat off to that. I'm not sure. During the show.
You told me to call you and update you.
Right.
How'd it go?
And so I'm updating you, and we did it, and it was great.
Oh, you liked it. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It did. See,
not all horror stories, Shira.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. You know, I think in order to spare a man his feelings and dignity, you should say, like, it did kind of hurt a little bit, but I got used to it. Because hey, no problem, didn't even know you're back there for the first 10 minutes, then it's going to take a little wind out of his penis.
It's going to be emasculating.
Yeah, like, you're going to want, like, it was pretty tight, and it kind of hurt at the beginning, but then it started getting in our groove, yeah. But if you just go, man, that was a layup, it's going to freak him out. Thanks for the delayed laugh, by the way. All right, Heather, hey, good time. So you had your behind broke. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right, well, enjoy. Mazel tov. Is half of... Drew, you're half Jew, right?
Mazel tov, yeah.
You know that. Yeah. Is that... What is that? Who's Jewish in your family? Your dad?
My dad, yeah.
Oh, he's the doctor.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Democrat.
What's a Jewish doctor do, though? He has to marry himself, right? I mean, where's the... Yeah, your mom...
Well,
that makes,
that math. That makes it extra good fodder for the Jewish female, see?
Right. Yeah. Oh, so your dad's a doctor. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's the doctor side. Jen?
Yes?
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay. I just want to tell you guys your show is great.
Thanks.
And I'm addicted thoroughly. I listen to it every night when I get out of work.
Nice. Thanks.
And, okay, I have a question. My fiance, he used to have an STD, and it's supposedly gone now. I was just wondering, like, what the odds are of it coming back.
How about you tell us what it is?
Yeah, what's the STD?
Hepatitis C.
And he says he got it sexually?
Does that go away?
It could. They're, like, some doctors say it could be transmissible.
Well, I actually do believe it's sexually transmissible. I'm convinced. I've seen some cases of this. But the vast majority is transmitted by needle.
Yeah, well, he used to do drugs.
All right, so that's how he got it. That's how he got it. Well, now, you could be at risk for getting it if he is still producing the virus. So has he been tested for the virus?
Yeah, I was tested it.
No, him.
For, like, he had his last testing maybe about almost a year ago.
And he's not producing virus.
No.
Zero viral count.
I don't have any.
No,
he doesn't have his at zero.
And he's not on treatment.
He did his treatment.
Interferon, is that what they use?
He had pegylated interferon.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah, it's like having the flu for 6 months, basically. It's pretty gnarly.
Well, hold on.
About 30% of those are curable.
Is it considered a sexually transmitted disease, hepatitis C?
In some circles. Yeah, I do. I consider it STD.
You do?
Yeah.
But not classically, is
it's
it?
It's not a classic.
Is there another hepatitis that's considered
B.
that? B is considered sexually transmitted
That's disease. Highly transmissible.
That is.
C is worse, though.
Well,
C is a worse disease.
Terrible.
Yeah. Well, but he doesn't have any virus to give you, it sounds like. So
but
he's cured.
Could he come back?
How many years out is he from the interferon?
About two.
Ooh, you'd have to ask a hepatologist. I don't think there's any chance of recurrence. Once it's done, it's done. It's a 30% cure rate, basically. And he sounds like he's in that cure category.
Really? Is this a newer thing? I thought this hep thing was a sort of
forever thing.
Life sentence.
It is a life sentence, but everybody should be tried. In my opinion, everyone with elevated enzymes should be tried on treatment because it is so devastating in terms of causing cirrhosis and liver cancer. If
yeah,
you don't
he had a biopsy done on his liver, and everything was normal. So he got it like very early.
How often should he be tested?
You know what? I'm not a hepatologist. I would think at 3 years that'd be it. He'd be not going to recur after that. I wouldn't think.
All right,
that's
Jen.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
yeah, it's
you
good
so
times.
Much.
Don't get pregnant.
I already did.
No. All right, give this one away.
Good times.
And don't get pregnant again.
Okay.
How's his recovery going?
Oh, great.
Right.
He's I can't even picture him ever being on drugs. I met him when he got out of rehab.
Yeah.
And he's wonderful.
He's still going to meetings?
No.
No.
He talked, well, at first he needed to talk about it a lot, and we talked about it a lot. Yeah. And every now and then I'll ask him, I'd be like, do you need to talk about it? I'd be like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, you're not the one that's responsible for his condition, though, so you might want
to. I know that. He used to go to meetings and stuff like that, but he thought it was kind of. He felt kind of weird there. You know?
Not a good sign, Jen.
He doesn't think he needs it.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Jen playing right into your hand.
Yeah.
He says he can handle a couple of beers every once in a while.
Yeah.
And socially, if he wants to drop some X or something like that, it's cool because he's got control.
Yeah, he can handle
he's
it. If he needs to talk about the E and roll an E and drop a little GHB, but he talks to me about it.
That's right.
The next most common answer is don't have time.
Yeah, he doesn't need to rent a friend to tell him that heroin is bad. He's got it under control. All right, Drew wants to take a break?
Yep.
All right. Jane's Addiction here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. That's the show, everybody. Ozzy and Sharon are
wasn't it terrific
tomorrow night.
It was terrific.
Always a good time.
Jane's Addiction. Lollapalooza.
Yeah, I want to thank Dave and Chris for coming out, of course. Thank Perry and Steven for coming out earlier. Strays, name of the CD coming out, 7/22. And then, of course, big Lollapalooza dates all through this summer. So go out and get on the internet, find those tickets.
Thanks for having us, you guys.
Always a pleasure. Come back anytime. And until next time, this is Adam Kroller for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I have so much confidence in myself, like the way I look, when really, I'm not that good looking.
This has been Loveline.
The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.